How was your week? What were the news stories and the conversations? Acumen Media breaks it down for us.
Tanya Currie, a very, very good morning.
I've missed you.
Yes, I missed you. Yes, well, last week you decided you needed a long weekend. Good for you. Good
I tell you what, you. Howard, it felt like I took 3 months off because I didn't have to do the Friday sum up and I didn't have to watch the news. It was so good.
Well, I think that's what it is. It's actually just a complete break from
yes. All that negativity. Mm. Wow. Mm.
Yeah, but are you finding?
Just lovely, but I'm back.
I'm finding that Facebook at the moment is more negative than I have ever seen it. And what I've done is I'm now on Instagram, and I actually am not following anyone political on Instagram.
And how much fun are you
and
having?
And I'm actually loving it. I'm just looking at beautiful Facebook. People all day.
Yeah, I've been off Facebook for over a year now.
Yeah,
and it's bliss.
Okay, guys, like Instagram's not even real.
I know it's not real.
But we like that.
But it's my escapism. So I've got Twitter for real.
Facebook is dreadful.
Dreadful. Mm.
Twitter is a cesspit, but Insta's not real.
No, it's not real. Absolutely not real. For sure.
You're having a promotion, a bit like our politics this week.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so what are the big stories?
That story. Did you hear that the appointment of Gumede was a political hallucination?
Oh
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what they told us.
Is that what they said?
That's what they say.
They're gaslighting us.
No, they just said she's an ordinary member of the legislature. She will not be the chair of COCTA. That's just a hallucination on the part of
everybody. Wow, we've had a national hallucination. Oh my gosh.
Well, there's more though. There wasn't just one this week. I have to share. Firstly, I was rapt by the State Capture Commission. It doesn't take a lot for me to switch that thing on. So I actually skived off work because it was so good. And I chaffed myself that actually I'm doing work by watching State Capture. I don't know if I believe myself, but my boss is very hard on me. Right. Anyway, so I'm here in the Zondo Commission and I'm in the live feed chat room. Long time since I've watched it live. Okay. And firstly, I have to commend anybody who sits in that chat room. Like, there's lots of us out there, up to 60,000 people at any one time. This particular day was 20,000 people. There's not one ounce of hatred in there.
Wow.
There's not one bullying tactic in there. All the people are on the same side. They all want justice and they are funny as all hell. So that was very cool for me to see South Africans congregated in an online space that actually had nothing bad to say about each other, only about the corruption that's unfolding in front of their eyes. But in this particular session, Advocate Kate Hofmeyer, who is just exceptional, tore Ndzeku to absolute shreds, to the point that even Judge Zondo couldn't believe what was coming out of this guy's mouth. Like, he started off as a Hladi Motsoeneng, like he was so arrogant and he was using the same hand gesture. I don't know what that is. I think it's a narcissistic thing, maybe. I'm not sure.
I must go and have a look. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
You have to see this thing. Anyway, so he got on the stand and he started off all arrogant, didn't need notes. He knows his story, was very rude to the advocate. And this advocate pulled him apart to the point that he actually admitted under oath that he had not only perjured himself, that he had committed fraud, that he was involved in BEE fronting, that he was involved in collusion with SAA, and that he was involved in corruption to the tune of no less than 20 million, a lot more. I'm being conservative with that number. This man did not know that his bank account, which had R1,000 in it the day before, received a transaction for 28.5 million rand.
Wow.
I mean, come on, guys. Then they had a tea break and the lawyer said, okay, look, this is not going well. Let's try another tactic, which is I don't remember.
Yeah, well, that's the standard. I don't remember. Yeah, what did I do?
He came back and could not remember who was married to. I mean, that's how bad it was. To the point that Judge Zondo took control and he lambasted him. He said, like, that they're going to put forward that he's been a completely dishonest witness, like he was torn to shreds. So here's this guy, he admits a lot, right? Under oath. But he's not arrested. How does that happen? So why weren't the hawks or the cops waiting at the door to say, okay, this guy under oath has just admitted to all these crimes, like he should at least be arrested and charged. That's the very minimum we expect. But nothing. Not a thing. So that was a tragedy.
And in fact, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. Lindy was saying, remember the Diamond Princess
in Sydney,
or wherever it was, that ship that where things had gone wrong with COVID and that whole story.
Yes.
So that was towards the beginning of lockdown. That case has already been tried, settled and done. And Lindy was saying she got such a shock because we're not used to that, because here things just go on for years and years and nothing ever happens.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I was encouraged yesterday by, the president's Q&A. Not all of it, I must be honest. But some of it, and one of the things I was encouraged by was that there will be special courts for COVID-19 tender fraud or fraud in corruption, so that it doesn't take years to come to the fore. But then at the same point, he didn't answer the Gumede question. And like, how is it physically possible that a woman who is out on bail for corruption can be appointed to any position? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And then Dudazane Zuma stands up and congratulates her. Mm. And then when the president is asked directly in parliament, but how come, he evades the question. And that made me pretty, pretty unpatriotic after I was feeling all this patriotism in state capture. Another big story was Sihle Zikalala. I mean, this guy, I mean, it also links back to Gumede. I mean, she's going to be working with him. He's fast becoming the new Ace Magashule, isn't he? When ENCA's Shahan Ramkison tore chunks out of him in a media interview, Zikalala behaved again like Claudie Motsane. Like, you're not allowed to talk to me in that manner. And the next thing, Hands Off Shahan, was the big hashtag of the day. And then the news broke while in parliament, while the president was being questioned about Gumede and Ace Magashule, the news broke on the side saying that the Ace had been summoned to, and I got all excited, fell off my chair, and to the ANC's Integrity Commission. So I thought, okay, so what is this Integrity Commission actually? Do you know what it is?
No.
We've
actually been trying to figure it out, but we don't know.
It sounds like just...
Is it like the deputy principal? Or being sent to the social worker. I think that's probably what it is.
I think you're just being sent to the students' council.
I think
that's more like it. I mean, the late Andrew Mlangeni, a man of true integrity, said himself that the Integrity Commission has little to no power. So, look, this story about Brian Malefic going to come clean at the same commission at the ANC calling for a swinging axe on corruption. Oh. I'm not sure, but there's hope. I mean, the president did deliver some very encouraging statements about gender-based violence. He said that, from what I could understand, that units were being set up all across the country and 51% of the responsibility or operational and executive powers would belong to the public. That the public would nominate who leads those units and how they are managed. And I don't know if he passed the buck to us, but I really quite like the idea of civil society being accountable for those units.
And holding other people accountable. I actually think that's not a bad thing.
I think it's an excellent thing. And I think maybe this is some sort of blueprint for how to move forward. You know, he also then spoke about putting all the tenders and all COVID-related work online and open to the public for viewing. So we all know there's the good guys out there like ARTA and Katrada Foundation and those sort of civil society organizations who have lawyers and accountants and forensic auditors who will go through that stuff with a fine tooth comb. So that also was reassuring for me. The one thing I did learn, and it's really the only thing I learned from the Q&A, is that nobody knows how to use Zoom. Nobody.
and government in particular does not know how to use it. I don't understand. It's not complicated.
It's not that hard, guys. No. There's like four buttons. There's only like four buttons that you need to know how
to use.
For
my views, actually, I think that Zoom is more important than we realize. And I believe that it should be the test. If you are too old to use Zoom, you should not be in government.
Thank you.
Completely agree.
Because it's really that simple. If you can't use Zoom, can't be. And to some extent, I feel the same about our school's the teachers.
Yeah.
You know, you understand you never used it before. None of us did. Now we've all learned.
Yes.
If you can't learn, if you can't manage to mute somebody or unmute yourself, then you can't be doing this anymore.
Listen, Howard, another moment of genius.
Shall I write that down?
Please, please.
Yes, I'm going to write that down.
Please write it down.
Yeah, because it's some of my best ideas for articles here.
It started off with half the parties weren't let in because nobody knew how to use the admit button. And then instead of the host muting everyone until they raised their hand, you had like toddlers screaming at one bit and somebody else shouting at their kids in another section to the point that the president got the giggles. I mean, like I've never seen him get there, but he couldn't control himself. I'm not sure if it was giggles or nervous laughter about the content of the media questions, but anyway, he was in stitches at the end of that address. And we were too. You shouldn't be allowed to have that job if you cannot work Zoom. Mm. And if you can't work Zoom, can you hire someone who does?
So we 2 weeks ago, we had a close friend of ours, son's bar mitzvah on Zoom. I mean, that's unfortunately how it has to be. And they had this group singing and it was beautiful. They were singing and everybody sort of, they focused on this group as part of the prayer and music. But someone forgot to mute themselves. She wasn't a young woman and she was not necessarily particularly musically talented. And she was singing along with this group and it was absolutely adorable. Funny that I actually couldn't contain myself anymore because it was honestly one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, you see, I mean, even the president got the giggles because of Zoom. There's two other stories, but just justice for Nathaniel Julius. I mean, oh my God, I can't even talk about the story. My headline for my report is why I can't talk about Aldo's. I just can't.
Terrible.
I mean, here was a child with Down syndrome eating cookies with his friends. Like he couldn't string a sentence together or answer
police
questions.
You can see when a child isn't okay.
And he was in a wheelchair, wasn't he? I mean, from what I understood, like there's just no excuse. They shot, grabbed him by the neck, chucked him in the back of the van, and he was dead. And the next thing, Eldorado Park rose up and descended on the police station, calling particularly for one guy's head. They call him the Scorpion. And the next thing, there were rubber bullets and fire and just chaos and unnecessary unrest and for what never should have happened. Like George Floyd has got nothing on.
This is what I was saying to Lindy earlier. Why are we not more outraged when it happens here?
Yeah.
Well, we are. 100,000 mentions in less than 24 hours and 300,000 people engaging at any one time on that story. We will be heard and we will do right by you, Nathaniel. That is the truth. And then my last story. The alcohol ban. We've been gaslit, haven't we? We've been suffering gaslighting for a long time in our country. One little rumor that the booze is going to be banned again and South Africa stormed on the bottle store.
But you know, we're also stupid because come on, you know, let's, you know, use your brains, look it up. It, you can see it's not real, surely.
Well, we've been told that. We've been told one day cigarettes are not banned and the next day they are. We're like in a victim of in an abused relationship where like just the slightest trigger sets us off because we're so scared of what might happen in the future. And then Minister Mbalula Razmataz turns around and says that we should ban alcohol advertising. I mean, as if, like, you give advertising far too much credit.
Yeah, it's true this.
We don't have adverts for cigarettes, but we're still smoking. But I did like the fact that no booze if you're driving. That's manageable. And that might actually work when it comes to dealing with the hospital problem.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to be talking about that just after 8:30, about that zero. And that's very much what happens around the world, is you cannot put any, you cannot drink.
You can't.
So someone like me who, you know, I do like to go out and have one drink and my policy has been always one drink, but I'm not somebody who's susceptible to drinking more than that if I've had a drink. But many people will have one drink and then will not be able to stop. And then we've got a problem. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
Absolutely. I think it's manageable. I think if you are going to drink, then take a cab or make arrangements with a designated driver. We've got used to it. We've got used to not drinking and driving, really. I mean, but the story about banning alcohol advertising is just ridiculous. But I want to say that I've seen so much reassurance this week from civil society, and I do believe, Howard, that we are extraordinary as a country. We are different to anywhere else in the world. We will be heard, and we are going to fix this. I feel encouraged. I hope you do too.
You know, I do think that because I think there's a sense of realism and almost strength that we haven't seen in South Africans for a while. We're not taking it anymore. We actually are. We are calling it, and we're quite unified as to how we're calling it. And we've definitely found a voice. You know, it reminded me almost of we were always very polite, but then there came a time with the Zuma presidency that we all had enough, and then we started calling it. And I feel the same now.
Yeah, that was us. Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel now there's the same type of resolve when it comes to corruption. We've had enough.
We've had enough, and we're putting our boots on, and we're walking out of it. We're done. We are absolutely done. And if you're not going to do it, we're going to do it ourselves, just like we did with Zuma. We are an extraordinary country, and we will make this work.
100% a country.
And it doesn't mean a vote for him.
We need to talk about that. We need to have another conversation, and we need to talk about alternatives because that's what we also need.
Tomorrow, maybe there'll be a name for the party.
Yeah, exactly. Lindy says, in fact, and she was right the other day because I was having this discussion and I was saying, but where to go? You know, and I understand that, you know, there's this, and Lindy said, well, that's a separate conversation because it doesn't mean you've got to vote for the same thing just because you can't decide on an alternative. That's a separate issue. And she was absolutely right about that. Tony Kura, I do need to leave it there.
Absolutely.
We are running a bit late. Thank you as always. Fascinating, interesting conversation. I hope you enjoyed it.